at least get married. They'd stop messing around. So if you're going to buy into Paul's writing and say, yeah, but, you know, Paul said not everybody has this gift. Well, then why don't you stop messing around and fueling a fire, getting a batting average, trying to hit homers? Why don't you give yourself to someone that wants to give themselves to you, and why don't you start a covenant up and grow in God in that covenant? Guys, as a pastor, I've seen this thing hurt us so much. I've seen young people in the church sleep around with other people in the church, and after a while it creates a mess. I can count on one hand the people I know that have kept their relationship pure in the sight of God until the day of wedding, and I'm saved 22 years, and I pastor, I can count on one hand, and I can cut a couple fingers off. That's a problem. That means we have a weakness. That means we're driven by feelings and sensuality. We're needing experiences. And we've been trained by sensuality in the world. And he tells us to put it all to death. This isn't my sermon. He says kill it. It's not that sexuality is wrong. It's not that intimacy is wrong. It's not that intercourse is wrong. Are you kidding me? There's no reproduction apart from intimacy. But man, let's let it be love. And let's learn what Jesus created us for. And let's find the pot of gold underneath all the counterfeit and the exploitation. Let's dig down through all that and find the treasure that the devil is so intent on hiding from us. You name a topic in the earth that's a close second to what we're talking about. A close second. You name one topic that's a close second to sensuality and sexuality. Every commercial, every ad, they always have to have the dress blown by the fan and just enough leg that you see it. It's in everything, everywhere. Now you name one thing that's exploited more than that topic in your life on the earth that even comes close to second. Nobody can answer because there is none. Why? You don't counterfeit $1 bills. You counterfeit things of great value. There is a pot of gold and a truth at the bottom of this thing that is worth digging for, people. And putting off life as you've known it in that arena. Coming together if you're married as husband and wife and asking Jesus for the true and real revelation so that you come together and truly love one another in a holy place where his presence attends it and you guys actually love one another, where an orgasm isn't your goal, but love is your goal. Yeah? You might be amazed what you bump into and how Holy Spirit will respond if you're willing to dig for the gold and put to death as you've known it. I milked that fall out, didn't I? See, that's what that drive's supposed to do. Fall to the ground and die, man. Put it to death. I heard once Kenneth Hagin was preaching and he walked off the thing and turned and went back on. That would be cool. Oh, it would just be cool. I did have this experience in a home group. I was praying over this precious girl. She was broken. She was young. She didn't have any understanding. We were being very compassionate. I'm giving her truth. She's sobbing and bawling and I got a word for her. And I'm there praying over her. And it was summer and it's hot and they didn't have air conditioning, but they had a ceiling fan. That thing is just blowing on us, and everybody's praying. It's a serious moment. And I'm standing there, and this guy, the owner of the house, is standing there, and I'm praying, and his wife, and I laid hands on her, and I said, Father, I just thank you. And I had my hand through the fan. The fan's just, and he just starts freaking out. He just starts crying, and I put my hand down, and another person saw it, and they're like, they're freaking out. They didn't know what to do. And they're like, what? I said, what's going on? You had your hand the whole way through the fan. And I said, well, it was innocent. I wasn't tempting God, and I had no idea. Are you sure? It was up this far into the fan. And your fan was just, brrr, and it never touched me. I didn't even know my... That was sweet. Because he was loving that girl. He said, oh, Dan, you didn't even see the fan. Ah, I'll take care of it. Isn't that cool? I like that. So it would just be awesome to just, man. All right, let me get done. I'm going to go, it's after 12. Oh. Therefore, put to death this list, guys. It's all idolatry. That's making something matter more that doesn't matter most. He's calling it idolatry. Whoa. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That means those that continue to disobey. In which you yourselves, see, there's no pride in this. There's no self-righteousness. We don't see a man for the book by the cover, right? In what you all lived this way once when you all walked this way and lived this way. You yourselves all lived this way at one point. Put off the list. It's not you anymore. Do you hear how inclusive that is? There's people that disagree, disobey. That's not you. You're called out of darkness into the light. You once lived this way, so don't get arrogant and proud. My grace has saved you and changed you. My truth has turned you around. See them with compassion. Don't judge them, but don't live that way. That's what it's saying. Watch. But now you yourselves, it's not an order call. It's the application of truth. You yourselves put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language from your mouths. You yourselves put off. How do I put off this list of sexual passion, desire, fornication, anger, frustration? How do I put off this list without running the risk of getting into works and failing? Good question. You put it off in prayer. You put it off with understanding. You get alone with God and understand what these scriptures are saying and go, duh, this was never me from the beginning. I've been trained in a lie. God, I was literally homeschooled in the wrong home. I had false teaching all around me. The way that seems man right to a man has been my teacher. And right now you're my teacher and you're a good teacher. You never made me for me. You never made me for my own desire, the fulfillment of my own urges and passions. God, you made me to love. You made me to be an outraying expression of light. You made me to live for your name and the sake of others. And God, you're changed me. I put off the right and the foundation to being angry and frustrated and judgmental and proud. Just fornication and driven and sexually just motivated. God, I want everything to be pure in my life. And I surrender life as I've known it so that I can step into who you are in me, Christ, the hope of glory. God, I put it off. You do it in prayer, guys. You don't do it biting your lip and trying harder. You do it in prayer because you're saved by grace through... So if you release faith in the truth, grace comes to make truth your reality. And all of a sudden you are what you are by the grace of God, and there's no boasting in men. And he gets all the glory and you get changed. Yay. Why? Because you're a believer. Okay. Do you guys get this? Don't lie to one another. Why? Because you put off the old man and his deeds and you've put on the... So in prayer, you put off the old man. Any man in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things. I mean, he's talking about motive, heart, intent. Yeah. Watch this. You're going to put on the new man. Who's the new man? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So what's the gospel? A restoration back to his image. It's right here. What's 2 Corinthians 3 say? Beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Shoo! People say, what's your gift in the body? I'm an image consultant. Getting us back to the image. See, I never read that in the list of giftings. It's here! So watch this. Let me skip down. You're going to put off the old man and his deeds. You do it in prayer. Watch this. This is what my prayer life has looked like. I don't pray this way anymore. It's my reality. There's a time I really prayed this way, and it just got settled in me, and grace poured into me, and it's just my reality. I just wake up this way. I just see this way. It's changed me. The gospel's changed me. But I, every once in a while I just thank God for things, but I don't pray this way anymore. But there was a season where this is the only way I really prayed. I'd go in my bedroom. Wow, Father, thank you. I'm born again. I have new life through you. My life's not the same. Never again will stress and strife and anger and frustration rule my life and dominate my life and have a place in my life, because I realize it was never made for me. I was made for your image and your glory and your love. So God, I just put off everything that was self-centered, everything that was non-productive, everything that pertained to me, that gave men a right to make me less than you. I call it all dead. And God, I just put on your loving kindness, your tender mercies, patience. God, I am a tree ripe for the picking, and I am planted in the field of God, and even in this earth, I am a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and men can pick of me and eat and be satisfied. You have changed my life forever. I am fruitful, God, because of you. Thank you for my life. What a gift. Life in Christ. That's my prayer life. Yeah? Never again, God, with this. I had a pastor in my life said, you got to be careful praying that never again thing. You're going to get condemned. If you slip and fall, then how are you going to get? I said, listen, man, that is a high level of faith. I'm believing it's possible. I'm going after the goal. I'm following Jesus, not our experiences. Yeah, but nothing. We are going after God. And I understand I'm not condemned. It's not about failing. It's about the privilege of becoming. So if I would have walked through my day and stumbled, right? What do? Run right back to God. Father, I so thank you for the truth that's working in my life that shows me what that really is. And that is so not who you are in me and who I am in you. And God, you are doing a change in me. And because of your grace, I'm wiser, sharper, and smarter than ever before. That is so not in my heart. And I thank you. It's being rooted out of my life. God, you're amazing. That sure beats naked and ashamed, hiding from the Lord. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just a little late. They wanted 12:30. I wanted 12. We're going in the middle. We're the car salesman thing, you know. 10:05, 11:02, 10:08. 10:09. Okay, therefore, as the elect of God, verse 12, holy and beloved. Watch. Put on. It's a place of prayer. It's not a place of works. Place of prayer. Put off. Put on. Fasting is an amazing time to do it. Go into a little season of fasting. You kneel down, put off. You stand up, put on, and watch the grace come into your fast. Communion. Take the communion elements. What a contact point of faith. Wow, your body. This is what you showed me. This is what you proved. This is what you revealed. Man, you gave your life, and now I yield my life. And Father, I just thank you that no longer will I be driven by this, that, or this, but I thank you that you are the very strength of my life, the motivating force. God, your love is what moves me. I appreciate you. Thank you for covenant. Man, put off, put on. Yeah, that sure beats, God, I'm thanking you for your love. I sure don't understand it. I don't know how you put up with me and tolerate me. And I know I never get it right, but it's like you still keep loving me and forgiving me. So thanks for forgiving me. Here's to you. That's not what that means. Okay. Put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Watch this. Bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. Watch this. If anyone has a complaint against another, call Chris or Joey or PJ and get it straight. No! If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ what? Past tense, already forgave you. He expects that you're walking in the beauty and glory of being forgiven, and that produces forgiveness in you. So even as you have been forgiven, forgive others. In the Old Testament, you had to forgive to be forgiven. In this covenant, you forgive because of the glory of forgiveness. You've been forgiven. Shoo! People that have a hard time with forgiveness reveal to me they've never tasted the joy of being forgiven. They've never just realized that God has completely forgiven them and washed them clean. Because if you stand in the righteous judgment of God and wash clean and know you're forgiven, forgiveness becomes your heart and righteousness becomes your judgment. Yeah? Yeah. So it's never duty, it's never legalistic, it's never biting your lip trying to forgive. That means you're not. Wonder if the gospel would take the grid away for unforgiveness and it wouldn't be, well, but it's hard. I'm trying to forgive, but it's hard. No, that's called, I don't understand. Could you imagine God toying with his heart? man, I want to forgive them, but man, they're pushing me out. Well, tell you, I'll send my son. I'll try it. It's not like that. You forgive because you've been forgiven. Do you think for a second God has lavished you with forgiveness so you can just enjoy being forgiven or so you can become the very thing? Do you think He gives us mercy so we can obtain it or become it? You be merciful, for I am merciful. Okay, I'm done. I'm reading this. I'm going to pray over you guys. And we're going to go to lunch because I won't shut up. I won't. Every time I'm up here, you guys are sincere and hungry and you're easy targets. You're easy targets. You guys are the best. I'm not saying that lightly. You guys are awesome. God is doing something as a corporate whole in this room. I can feel it, man. It's like, when I mean that, I mean spiritually, I can discern it. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If you have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive. Now watch this. But above all these things, put on. It's a place of prayer. How do you become love? How do you teach on love and then you leave and become it? You have to want to, remember? If you don't want to, you won't put it on. You won't get alone with God and say, your heart impresses me. Man, people dogged you, they mocked you, they scoffed you, they hit you unjustly, they lied about you behind the scenes. There was people that lied about you to your face in front of Pilate and the Sanhedrin. Nothing changed you. Nothing got to you. Nothing made you different. You're amazing. Your love never fails. I so honor you. You're so solid and so secure. You're such a rock. You're such a firm foundation. Man, I want to be rooted in you. Yeah? Come on. This is what it means. You put Him on. You put on love. Above all these things, what do you put on? Put on love. Why? It's the bond of perfection. If I love, I have no cause for stumbling in my brother. Actually, 1 John 4 says, if I love, it's because I know God. If I don't love, I don't know God. Doesn't say you don't pastor, lead a church, or lead worship, or serve in a ministry. Doesn't say you don't recognize your need for a Savior and you're sincere about being forgiven. It says, if I don't love, there's one reason. I don't know Him. Which means knowing Him is transforming, and this is eternal life. That you might know Him. The only true God. And His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent. You get it? Father, I pray for this house. I thank You for the words. I thank You, God, that You've sown it into good, solid soil. I just thank You for fruit abounding. That canvas illustration, Lord. I pray that every person here would begin to fill that canvas with trees upon trees. That, God, it would just work out in the kingdom the way it works, the way You set it in order. That fruitfulness would bring more fruitfulness and more fruitfulness. And God, I just pray sincerely. You said I can have whatever I ask, believing. And I believe this sincerely. This isn't hype. I didn't qualify that for me or for God. I qualified that for You so You don't think that. That, Lord, every person in this room would grow into a good tree and a fruitful tree. And that every person in this room in their end days would have a completely full canvas of oak trees covering their mountains. And I thank You that one seed would turn into a forest of fruitfulness. I bless this house and I pray we run well and stay steadfast in the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.